Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Steelers 3-1 at their bye. Ravens 1-3 now without Lamar Jackson playing on Sunday against Houston. Perhaps he won't play the following week against the Rams. The Steelers are in the driver's seat in the AFC North, which is the driver's seat on the left or right side of the car, Dorn. I'll tell you, we got in an Uber on our way to the airport yesterday, and this dude was cutting through traffic in Dublin in a way that had me losing my mind. You know I hate flying. I would rather take another 9-hour flight than be on that guy's Uber. He got us there in like 12 minutes, though. I digress. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette is joining us right now, and Ray is brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years. LGKG.com. Good morning to you, Ray. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well.
Ray, are the Steelers going to win the AFC North?
Well, too early for that. You know, we probably had the same discussion last year when they were 10-3 or something similar in November, early December. I still think, even though Jackson is injured, and even though that defense is bad in Baltimore, I think the Ravens are going to find a way to outscore people. They're still going to be in the hunt. I don't know if they're going to be able to be a top seed anymore, but I think it's going to come down to the Steelers and Ravens at the end, like it always does almost every year. So, the more things change, the more things stay the same. But, I think the Steelers have a better chance than they did a month ago, but I'm not convinced the Ravens are going away.
Ray, what will they do with wide receiver number two? Like, obviously Calvin Austin is hurt. Are they gonna go by committee and just rely on Ben Skowronek or Anthony Miller to uphold those duties? Or are they having even more faith in putting Roman Wilson in a little bit more to be a part of that group?
Yeah, I was down there yesterday and just reading between the lines, I think Roman's going to get a shot, but I still think they're kind of learning about him and what his game is and how he can help the football team. And, you know, what I mean by that is Ben Skowronek, they know how they could utilize him. He's going to go in there. He's going to block great. He's going to catch a pass or two here and there, but you know what his role is. Scotty Miller is the guy who could play every position. So there's a lot of trust in Scotty Miller. And I just think the Steelers coaches are looking around and saying, okay, we know we have a talent here in Roman Wilson. How can we best utilize him? And I just don't think that they've figured that out yet. Now, the good news is, just in talking to Skowronek and a few other guys yesterday, it doesn't seem like it's a long-term thing with Calvin. Maybe a couple of games here and there will probably won't get word on that until next week because Tomlin doesn't talk during the bye week, but that's the good news. Austin will eventually be back, and in the interim, you're right, it's going to be by committee, but I got a feeling it's going to be more Skowronek and Miller than Roman Wilson.
How about more Big Hoss formations with Darnell Washington and then number 74 nipple rubber reported as eligible. Is that something you expect to see a lot more of going forward? This first time the Steelers ran the ball well for a full 60 yeah. minutes. Is this who they want to be with that kind of personnel?
I was wondering the same thing. So we had a chance to talk to a lot of the assistant coaches yesterday, and I asked Pat Meyer that, you know, can we expect to see that every game? And, you know, the indications I got from Pat and from Arthur Smith, just talking to them yesterday, was it was more exploiting a Vikings weakness than it was something they can count on week in and week out. So, you know, maybe they saw something on the edge guys with Minnesota that they felt like Spencer would do a good job, and they could sort of collapse that. And, you know, you saw what Gainwell did. It was very impressive. But I don't want to say that's a gimmick, but I don't think you can get by with that week in and week out. Eventually, they're going to have to be effective running the ball with their five offensive linemen and whatever tight end personnel groupings they have out there. But it was encouraging to see them finally get on a roll there with the running game, even though it, you know, sort of had them manufactured in the way it was.
Ray, how do they deploy Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith when Alex Highsmith is healthy?
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. I mean, I the way I look at it now, Doran, they have three starters. And it's going to be up to the coaches, Denzel Martin, Tom and Terrell Austin. They're going to have to figure out ways to utilize Nick Herbig once Highsmith does come back. Now, we know the strengths of Highsmith. You know, he's going to set the edge. He's a good pass rusher, but he's not the pass rusher that Nick Herbig is. And it seems like Nick affects the game more when he's in there from a pass rushing perspective. So that's something they're going to have to figure out. But you ask any coach down there, they're going to tell you that's a good problem to have. Anytime you have a lot of good players at one position, that's a good problem.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us. Of course, he is from the Post-Gazette. He's on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Your expectation on how long Jalen Ramsey will be out, Ray?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a couple of games as well. And, you know, it's a shame because Joey Porter was scheduled to come back. And Joey got hurt in the first game. And we listened to Tomlin all summer talk about the plans that he had for the secondary and how they were going to, you know, attack these teams with their coverage and putting guys on islands. And we might not see it until the second half of the season. And that's unfortunate. You know, the good news is they figured out ways to win when Porter's been hurt, when Trice has been hurt. Now they're going to have to figure out how to do it with Ramsey. Now, I will tell you this. It's going to be a little bit more challenging with Ramsey just because he played everywhere. Played outside, played in the slot, played safety. They got bodies back there. You know, they got Chuck Clark and Thornhill and, you know, they got Eccles. But do you have someone who could be as effective as Jalen Ramsey was? I don't think so. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But, yeah, you got the bye this week, but I still think it's probably going to be a couple of games for Ramsey with that hamstring.
Ray, what a Patrick Queen. He's a guy that we didn't notice as much for the first couple games. He got better and better each game, but I thought he just flashed big time in the last game against the Vikings. Yeah. I mean, he seems to be coming into his own at the middle linebacker spot.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it was almost like he had a great game, but he was overshadowed by Peyton Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Like Peyton Wilson had 13 tackles, and he had the play of the game that dominated the conversation for the next couple of days. But you're right, Patrick Queen had 11 tackles in that game. He's playing fast. He's reading very well right now. And it just seems like the Steelers have been playing faster against the Patriots in this past game against the Vikings. And it just seemed like not just Patrick, but everyone was a little bit tentative in those first two games. So when they play fast, they're much better. You see the results in the turnovers. You see the results in pressuring the passer. And it's not just in the sack numbers. I mean, the sack numbers are really impressive, but how many hits did they have on Carson Wentz? How many times did you see him get up and, like, hold his ribs? I mean, that was impressive to watch. And it seems like not only the inside backers, but everyone on that defense now is starting to play fast. And that's good news for that Steelers defense.
I hope you guys don't think this is overstating it, but I really thought it looked like an SEC defensive front against like a group of five team on Sunday.
Yes.
I mean, Carson Wentz was constantly under pressure. I think they've been credited now with 52 pressures through their last two games. That's the Steelers defense we had been hoping to see. On the offensive side, Ray, just 7 catches for 65 yards for Pat Freiermuth, who barely played at all on Sunday. What's your level of concern there and their overall tight end usage through a quarter of the season?
Yeah, I mean, Pat's he's saying all the right things. I'm sure deep down he's frustrated. I think anyone in his situation would be. We just got done talking about the big personnel package. That's going to happen from week to week. But they got to get Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth more involved. You know, we talked last week. You know, the talk went into the Vikings game was how do they get DK Metcalf on track? Do they have to force feed him the ball? And they finally did that. They found ways to get him the ball. And I'm wondering during the bye week, are they going to sit down and figure out, okay, we have these two tight ends. We're paying them a combined $20 million this season. Let's figure out a way to utilize them as well. You know, it's hard because Arthur loves his personnel packages. Guys are in and out, not only snap to snap, but game to game and week to week. So it's hard to get everyone involved on a consistent basis. But I agree with you guys. They got to get Pat and Jonnu more involved. They're good players, and they just haven't used them very well through the first 4 games of the season.
Ray, the Steelers. Now I want to save this for the next segment. So I'll ask you a different question here, Ray. Are the Steelers, and this is a broad one, through 4 games, are the Steelers a better football team, a worse football team, the same compared to your expectations now that you've got to see them for a month?
I mean, I'm encouraged by what I saw against the Vikings, but it's got to be consistent. And you'll see, if they're 5-1, because listen, they should beat the Browns at home. On a short week on the road, they should still go to Cincinnati and beat a backup quarterback in Jake Browning. So if that consistency is there and they continue to find ways to win, I will be impressed. But we all know what's coming. The schedule is going to get tougher in the second half of the season. They're going to have to get their communication issues ironed out. There's still a lot to work on, but the run defense has improved. The running game improved 1 game against the Vikings, and they finally figured out a way to use Metcalf. So, yeah, I think, you know, as Tomlin says, the arrow is pointed up. We just got to see if they can keep it going on a consistent basis here.
Raymundo, you're a gentleman and a scholar, and we appreciate you joining us every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. See you next week.
Thanks, Ray.
All right, pal. That is Ray Fittipaldo. Coming up next, I've seen a bunch of power rankings that aren't giving the Steelers probably the credit that they deserve compared to where they are in the standings. And it's because the Steelers still have a negative point differential. This is always a big talking point. The analytics nerds, oh boy, the Steelers, negative point differential. I got 4 stats on why the Steelers should not be overlooked. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying this is a top 5 team in the NFL. But it's, through 4 games, for me, better than a middle-of-the-pack team. Absolutely. We'll tell you why.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do? Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I've looked at a bunch of power rankings. That's what you do, especially on a bye week, looking for things to discuss. And on aggregate, I looked at about 10 of them, bouncing to a bunch of different sites. The Steelers, about 15th, 14-15 range, which, hey, that's where they've been the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could make an argument that they've like perennially now been the 14th best team in the NFL. You sneak into the playoffs, you get blown out in round one. There's seven teams from each conference that make it 14th. Makes some sense. I think they've been better than that, though, this year. The last two games, I know that there were issues defensively against the Patriots, but they got the turnovers. It's something that they stress. They were great in the red zone. And then they put their best game together against the Minnesota Vikings. Not a perfect game. Was definitely not a perfect fourth quarter, but they dominated the trenches, and they ran the ball the way that we had hoped that they'd be able to run it. And they stopped the run the way that we hoped that they'd be able to run it. But the reason why I don't think the Steelers and all these power rankings are a top 10 team is because of their point differential, which a lot of these folks look at as predictive metric. Like if you got a not great point differential, maybe you're not that good. I got four stats that I think are more important right now than point differential. I think the Steelers are good enough to finish with a positive point differential this year. But four stats that have me excited about the trajectory of this team. Are you ready?
Yep.
I feel like the guy at the beginning of SpongeBob SquarePants. Are you ready, kids? Aye, aye, Captain. Sorry, jet lagged. Grandma died last year. All right, four stats. Number one, red zone touchdown percentage. It's something that you talked about all offseason. Like, where can the Steelers obviously improve based on their personnel and their improved personnel? That seemed like a pretty good spot where they could, and they have. 21% better than where they were last year. Last year, they were scoring at a 48% clip in the red zone, touchdowns. So less than half. That's math. This year, they're at 69%. Now, they didn't convert late on that fourth and three where they ran the football.
Yeah.
They could have kicked a field goal there. They had a field goal blocked. This is touchdown percentage, but you could have kicked a field goal there if you had wanted to. And that would mean you scored in the red zone. And rarely do you see Boswell kicks get blocked or Danny Smith's special teams units get blocked. But that's an area where I don't think they're going to regress. Like, we'll stop and talk about each of these. I think that's an area that they're going to be good all season long.
I agree.
Aaron Rodgers is elite in the red zone, Dorn.
Yeah, and I don't think they've used their full gamut of red zone plays and red zone formations, red zone personnel. I mean, they've used Darnell Washington on the two-point conversion, but, I mean, you put the package out there with Darnell, Pat Freiermuth, Jonnu Smith, and DK Metcalf. Like, that's a lot of big bodies to use in different ways and different concepts in the red zone. So I don't think that they've even scratched the surface, honestly, in the red zone.
And maybe we'll see more of that after the bye. And that's something that, you're right, we thought would be a massive part of their red zone success, and it really hasn't been. And if Darnell Washington, if they're 6-0 with him playing 40 or more snaps, the more they play him, the more he's going to be utilized in the passing game.
Yep.
And even down there, if you're not throwing it to him, you have to account for that guy because he is, well, a moose. Here's another reason why the Steelers are sitting at 3-1. Fewest penalties in the NFL committed, 19. It's not by far the fewest, but the bottom five teams in the league in terms of penalties committed, there's a fairly big gap between that and the next 5, 10, 15 teams.
That's huge. Huge to be a disciplined football team and not give a team bonus yards. It's huge. Talk about all the time with the Pitt football team. I mean, they had 14 penalties against West Virginia. You're just never going to put yourself in good position.
If you have 10, games. You probably win that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's an area where, like, I feel every year, dude, we have the conversation, oh, the Steelers are highly penalized. Then Tomlin goes, we got the stripes coming in this week. The whippy old referees are coming in for practice. And then after that, whoa, all of a sudden the penalties go down. This year they started out well. And I'd like to think it's because they've got veterans, but I don't know. I don't know if it's been an extra added point of emphasis or what, but through four games, 19 penalties, you will take that big time.
Yep.
The third statistic that is a, this one's a massive change from last season. Last year, the Steelers, on average, offensively, scored 2.7 points per first quarter. They sucked. They never got out to early leads. They consistently had to put together good second halves, and their second half point differential was really good. Their first half not, and the defense had a lot to do with it, but the offense was routinely three and outing. The offense, as we now famously know, did not score a touchdown in the first quarter, or excuse me, on the first drive all season long last year. This season, they're averaging a touchdown a first quarter, 6.8 points per first quarter, which doesn't sound like a lot. It's seventh in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any reason why that can't continue. First game, Rodgers leads him down the field, bang, first drive of the season, touchdown. Second game, Seahawks. You go down, you get a field goal, which last year, my God, we'd have taken field goals.
Oh, yeah.
Against New England, you're up 14-3. Against the Vikings, you're up 14-3. I see no reason why Aaron Rodgers and this offense can't continue to put up points in the first quarter. That was something so foreign to us. You are allowed to do it. And if I could pick one statistic, and it's still way early, but through four games, one statistic that gives me faith that they could actually be competitive in a playoff game, it's that one.
Absolutely. Get off the fast starts. Absolutely.
Yes, we kill Mike Tomlin's defense, and we kill them for, what, being outscored 72-0 in the last five playoff games through the first quarter? Yeah, the defense gets crushed for it. The offense is allowed to score in the playoffs in the first quarter, too. So that's a huge one. And then, finally, and this has been true the last 5 years, so I don't see it going anywhere, especially now that you got Rodgers at quarterback. They're second in the NFL in turnover differential at +7. Yeah, you can't expect five every week like you got them against New England, but with the defensive front you've built and with Nick Herbig being an elite pass rusher, like we're getting to a point where I might think that guy's a top 10 pass rusher in the league.
Yeah.
And you've been singing his praises for a while. The pass rush these last 2 weeks with Derek Harmon, with Nick Herbig, looks the way it was supposed to look. I see no reason why that turnover differential can't be among the best in the NFL all season, and it's second in the league right now.
Yeah, and throw Alex Highsmith back in the mix. It's not like Alex Highsmith is going to be sat down and going to be benched. He's still going to, I mean, he's going to probably come back and start, honestly. But I think that the rep count is going to be, the distribution of Herbig and Highsmith is going to be somewhat split. And Alex Highsmith can force turnovers as well. He's a guy, and Joey Porter Jr., we'll see what he does when he comes back. But you're getting two guys back, and obviously Jalen Ramsey's out, but two guys back that are a big staple of your defense.
Yeah. I want to talk about Ramsey being out and what Ray had to say coming up next. But just quickly, thinking about Herbig and Freiermuth. If you're out to Leeds, you can play less Freiermuth and more Darnell Washington, try to milk the thing, and you play more Herbig because you're rushing the passer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in tight games or if you are trailing in games and the other team wants to run the ball more to kill the clock, I could see you playing more Highsmith and then playing more Freiermuth as you try to throw to get back into the thing.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, Phil, and others waiting patiently on hold. We still haven't given away those Joe Coy tickets. So 412-928-9370 if you want to talk a little Steelers football. Coming up next, why I'm not all that worried about the Jalen Ramsey injury. On Monday, I was. I am not now. I'll tell you why when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, as always, 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Breaking news of sorts. It was reported yesterday that the Browns would be starting Dillon Gabriel in London this week against the Minnesota Vikings. Well, the Browns have now made that official. This from the Cleveland Browns Twitter account. We've named Dillon Gabriel the starter for Sunday's game against the Vikings. I mean, sweet sassy molasses. Good luck to you, lad. I mean, seriously, Doran. It reminds me of what the Steelers did to Kenny Pickett a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, Kenny wasn't getting first-team reps, and then they threw him in the middle of that Jets game. At least Dillon Gabriel knows on Wednesday he's going to be the guy, and I'm sure he was told yesterday, and he's been preparing to be the starter. But the Steelers played the Bills and the Eagles on the road in Kenny Pickett's first two starts. And now Dillon Gabriel starts in London against a team that's adjusted to the time zone that brings a ton of heat on the quarterback in the Minnesota Vikings. And then they get Mike Tomlin, who's historically good against rookie quarterbacks.
Good luck.
Good luck, man. You're going 0-2. And that guy's going to get snapped in half.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to the Ramsey talking point that I wanted to bring up. Ray said when he joined us at the beginning of the 8 o'clock hour, he thinks Jalen Ramsey's going to miss two or three games. I think I'm okay with that. Like Monday, I was worried because of the communication issues that they've already had. And you felt like they were getting better in that regard. They had the huge bust, of course, at the end of the game with Jordan Addison. But you felt like they looked better from a communication standpoint in Dublin. And then you take Ramsey out of it, and you almost got to relearn when all the pieces are together because they haven't been together yet.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't had Joey Porter Jr. Well, I think these next two games, if you don't have Ramsey after the bye, but you get JPJ back, I think the Steelers will be fine handling Dillon Gabriel and that cast of characters without Ramsey.
Yeah.
And I know that Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are really good, but they're going to get pressure on Browning.
Well, that's it. It's can the front, you know, get after the quarterback and get after Dillon Gabriel, get after Browning. And I assume that they will. I mean, if they show the defense and play the defense that they played against the Vikings, I mean, it looked like they were on another level at times with the blitzes and different stunts and things of that nature. So if you could do that, you're fine on the back end.
Yes.
You're fine.
Yeah. And I think Echols is a good player. And I saw some of the cut-ups of Darius Slay against Jordan Addison. He looked great.
Mm-hmm.
He looked really good. So I'm not super concerned about these next couple of weeks. It's the following few where you're going to be taking on Green Bay, and they got a ton of wide receivers, and Jordan Love can throw the ball, and they can really scheme things up with LaFleur. You'd love to get Ramsey back for that. You'd love to be at full strength in the secondary. As for these Browns in that game, I said, if the Steelers start 5-1, they're winning the division. Two things. One, I just looked it up. Only four teams have ever started 1-5 and made the playoffs. So the Ravens would be big-time battling history if they lose these next couple of games. But you always worry about the Steelers stubbing their toe, and that Thursday in Cincinnati looms large. Joe Flacco with the Browns scares me. You'd have been favored. It's at Acrisure. Mm-hmm. But if Joe Flacco were the starting quarterback, the way that that front can still get after your quarterback, that would scare me. With Dylan Gabriel, I'm a lot less scared, man.
Yeah.
Now, he could always come out and surprise you and play good ball, and wow, you get a shot in the arm. But Joe Flacco walking up into Acrisure, I'm not just checking that box checking as that a box. Dub.
No, not for what he did to you last year.
No.
In Indy.
In Indianapolis.
Right.
And Mike Tomlin, he brought it up last week. Anthony Richardson took a straight. Like, don't you knock that Anthony Richardson out. You knock him out. You got to deal with Joe Flacco. They think Joe Flacco's Joe Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he's a pro. I'm interested to see what Dylan Gabriel does this week. I think you're going to see every starting quarterback that they have on their roster before the end of the season.
I think we're going to see Shador.
Against the Steelers?
Mm-hmm.
If he struggles through six quarters, let's say, Dylan Gabriel, like he's bad against Minnesota and then isn't good the first half against the Steelers, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
But then you're kind of doing the thing to Shador that you did to Kenny Pickett.
Not really, because Shador's a fifth-round pick.
Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out.
Right.
Because you still might have, you probably do, in fact, the way that you handled the draft and trading back and all that, your eye on drafting a guy in the 2026 draft, which... Yikes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Our guy, Drew Aller, not good.
Nope.
I watched back every one of it. This is what I did in the airport yesterday in Dallas. I watched a cut-up of every single throw Aller made, good and bad, in the Oregon game. Oh, my God, dude.
I know.
And now what you're hearing from state colleges, well, they're not protecting him well enough. Well, for God's sakes. Last year was he doesn't have receivers. Now it's the line. Maybe it's him.
I'm hearing that it's the offensive coordinator. He doesn't fit the system, and the offensive coordinator won't adjust the offense to fit in Drew Aller. That's what I'm hearing now.
Get the hell out of here. Andy Kotelnicki is one of the best play callers, I think, in all of college football. What he did in his system working in Kansas, like, he is as creative gets. It seemed to work out okay for that tight end that they had drafted last year.
Tyler Warren.
I mean, come on. You've got two NFL running backs and a guy that looks like Ben Roethlisberger. Like, maybe it's the guy who looks like Ben that needs to play a little bit better. Right now, there's only one quarterback I like that's the way that they've played this year, and that's Mendoza from Indiana.
Yeah, he's played well.
He has played really good football. Apart from that, all the other draftable guys, I'm not saying you're not going to have a handful that go in round one. Not one of them has played up to the expectation level. Texter writes in, Cleveland's been in England since Monday. I'm here to tell you that that's nice and that's important. A week ain't enough time to adjust to the time.
Right.
I'm seeing two Dorans right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you it ain't the same.
Especially whenever you are a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, getting your first start. That's going to be rough.
Especially when you're a guy who complained about playing in weather and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Like, he has allowed other factors to affect his mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to be over there. And I bet you there's a bajillion Vikings fans there, because there's probably some that stayed. I mean, oh my goodness.
Of course. You make that a 2-week deal.
Oh, please.
2-week deal. Yeah. Just take a plane.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, don't take a vacation in the summer. You do 2 weeks over there. That's a big spot for a rookie quarterback to come into.
Oh, yeah.
And also, the Vikings, I think, are a much better football team than they showed against the Steelers. Like, I still think they, from top to bottom, 1 through 53, they're one of the more talented teams in the NFL. Cleveland, not even close. 412-928-9370. I said we'd get to Pittsburgh Phil, and I forgot about him. Hello, Pittsburgh Phil.
How could you forget about me, Crowley?
I'm sorry, man. Dublin.
I knew it. I don't even have to ask you how it was, because you're seeing double Dorans.
That's right. I'm hearing a couple of you too, pal. What's on your mind?
So listen, first of all, TCU quarterback Hoover is a
great call.
Quarterback.
Great call. With you on that. That's a good shout.
I watch games fairly, and let me tell you something. 2.5-point dog, Minnesota was. They were a favorite against us. We were a 2.5-point dog. I love the Steelers. And I'm going to tell you something. We have a lot of room to grow. 15th in the NFL, and that's stretching it. We didn't finish the game. That's not indicative of a 15th team in the NFL, how we finished that team with Minnesota. We should have finished with offense.
You know what, Phil? Do you like comedians?
Yes.
Do you like Joe Coy?
Joe Coy's phenomenal.
Well, you're going to go see him. We're putting you on hold. I just hung up on him by accident. I hit the wrong
button. Get him back. Oh, my God.
Pittsburgh Phil call back. Dublin. Fitzsimons. That's a big,
gotta get him back.
Big bar out there.
Fitzsimons?
Mm-hmm.
Or Fitzsimmons?
They said Fitzsimons.
No. Oh.
I should probably say Fitzsimmons, though, okay. Or else I sound like a jackass.
Yes. Fitzsimons.
The point that he made that I wouldn't mind jumping off of coming up next is the way that they played the first three games, particularly that New England game, you could feel bad despite them winning. I know that fourth quarter was ugly. I don't think that was a reflection of just how much the Steelers really, truly dominated the game. We can get into that coming up a little bit next. We'll go around the NFL as well. Pittsburgh Phil has called back up, and thank goodness for that. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Doug Whaley going to be joining us in 10 minutes. What happened?
Callous.
I feel like a dummy, but I shouldn't feel like a dummy. You told me to start paying attention more, so I turned on my X notifications and stuff. I've been getting updates, reports. I've been turning on the notifications from a bunch of different apps with news sources and stuff. And at 8:30, when the news broke, I said, "Oh, Doran, look, Joe Flacco's going to be benched." And Doran said, "Callous, we talked about that yesterday." And I'm like, "But Ian Rappaport said it's officially official now. I got the tweet. I got the Browns tweet."
Yeah, the Browns made it official. You're right.
But no, we talked about it like three times throughout the last 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm sad because I was paying attention to the news.
But not to us.
It wasn't Matt Canada being fired. It wasn't that big. But I was like, "Oh, look, I found something."
Texter writes in, Joe Flacco is QB2 for Cleveland. I just don't understand that if that's the case. If Dylan Gabriel gets hurt and you go back to Joe Flacco, that's very weird to me. Like, make the decision to go young. Like, Shador Sanders.
I don't know. What are you playing for at this point?
Nothing.
Right.
Texter, talk more about wide receiver 2, Jacoby Myers, Chris Olave possibilities. Well, it's funny you say that because we're going around the NFL. Around the NFL. Yes. The Fan Morning Show, by the way, brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We love Guardian Protection. Tyreek Hill, we had discussed before as a possibility for the Steelers to get in a trade. Maybe unrealistic, maybe not. But now he's off the market because his knee is backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have a leg.
I feel confident in saying that I could outrun Tyreek Hill today. That's the only time in my life I've been able to say that.
Yes.
Am I 100% confident? No. But I think I could take him.
I think so. I put my money on you.
The Raiders stink, and so does my guy. Geno has been brutal.
Brutal. Might see Kenny Pickett soon.
You might.
He's been... Geno making a lot of money.
He's making a ton of money. And I thought he was going to come in and play well because he's been great. He was great last year. I think the last couple of seasons, one of the more underrated players in the NFL. But that's neither here nor there. That's just me flexing my Dove V muscles. You see how hard it is for me to even say the word muscles?
Yeah. Yeah, whenever you're wearing a woman's shirt.
XL. Nah, it's just a large, yeah. Woman's Irish large is what I'm wearing. They stink. And I wonder if Jacoby Myers could be had. That's the scuttlebutt. And he's a perfect number two receiver. He requested a trade in the offseason, actually in the lead up to the regular season. If you can get Jacoby Myers, go get yourself some Jacoby Myers.
I think they really love Calvin Austin. And I don't think they'll just go and try to pay a Jacoby Myers at this point in the season. And they'll just kind of live with the receiver by committee until Calvin Austin gets back and then maybe draft a receiver next year. I don't think that they're going to be like in the ballpark, in the realm of paying somebody money.
I think it's 11. What is he? $11 million. And then next year you could let him walk. It depends. I think if you're sitting there at 6-1, you win these next two division games, you win at home against Green Bay. I have to look at what the deadline is. And the Ravens are behind you the way they've been. And you feel you're going to get a home playoff game. I could see going all in. And getting a rental and parting from one of your 12 draft picks you have next year.
Or just trading Roman Wilson.
Maybe they'd be interested in him because I think change of scenery is absolutely necessary for that guy. Like, they don't like him at all. I'm convinced of that. We'll, in fact, get into that a little bit more with Doug Whaley based off of what Arthur Smith had to say yesterday.
I'd be talking Jim Harbaugh into training for Roman Wilson to get something because he coached him in college and they always need receiver help in L.A. I'd be like, hey, man, come on, take your guy, take your guy. He needs to change scenery. Take your guy.
The Steelers like to do the thing where they'll bring in family members like Connor Hayward and Bruner and Watt and that whole deal, and then Ohio State guys. I don't think there's any more incestuous football relationship than the Harbaughs and the Ravens and Michigan and the yep. Chargers and all those moving parts. Like, J.J. McCarthy, they're going to try to get his ass to
yep.
play him alongside Justin Herbert in the backfield there. I also think that Chris Olave is a real option. I reported it in the offseason that they were interested. Albert Breer confirmed that report, and the Saints are really, really bad. You have to look at the teams that feel like they got no shot. And if you're the Saints coming into the year, you thought you'd have no shot, certainly now. The problem with Olave is he's been concussed so much.
He's fine this year, though.
He is.
So,
and he's good.
Yeah.
Like, he's better, way he's, better than the version of Mike Williams that they got last
he's
year.
He's a legit number two receiver.
Him and Jacoby Myers yes. fit the bill. Another guy to keep an eye on, Calvin Ridley. Could be an option.
I don't mind that either.
But if I'm the Titans, do I want to take a player away from my young quarterback?
Well, you're probably going to draft the receiver.
Yeah, but this year, like, they can't block. There's not a lot of guys for him to throw to. And I'm worried about his development.
I would just be interested in being bad this year and then loading up in the draft next yeah. year for the young quarterback.
You have to remember where I'm coming from. I'm the guy that said the Steelers shouldn't trade Chase Claypool to take him away from Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Yeah. You said a lot of things that weren't good. Yeah.
So nice being back with you, Dorn.
Yeah, you too, man. Glad you got that shirt.
Woman's large.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's around the NFL. Doug Whaley's just sauntered into the studio. Strut? It was a strut.
Strut.
He strutted in, did Doug Whaley, and we got him for a full hour. It's a Wednesday with Whaley coming your way next. Fan Weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today is high of 75, low of 53, clear skies. They did it in Celsius overseas. I had no idea what any of it meant.
But you meant the drink?
No. The opposite of Fahrenheit.
You couldn't switch it to Fahrenheit?
I don't know how to work things.
Oh, yeah.
I was just talking to one of our sales guys who was like, I was sending you a text all weekend. Why didn't you get back to me? It's because I got bombarded with 60 texts when I came home because the data was all messed up. Pain in the ass.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.